Let me begin by saying thank you to the elders at Central, to Brother Tim, their foresight and their planning for our Men's Day this year. We're not together, but we in essence are together in heart and soul, and we appreciate that very much. Let's talk about the economy of God. There's a great deal that we hear today in our society, especially during this time of pandemic, relative to economy. What jobs are there? What jobs are being lost? What jobs are being made? What money is being spent? What money is being saved? Or is there stimulus money? Is there a way that somehow we can overcome this? We've always, in America, been concerned about the economy. And here recently it seems as if it is a very much a point of interest. If you define the word, it simply means wealth, resources, how they are consumed, and how they are produced. In other words, economy deals with money. Where does it come from? What do we spend it on? What happens if we don't have it? What happens if we need to borrow it? You know, the word economy is not foreign to God's Word. I read recently that topics dealing with wealth and money and the economy are the second most mentioned topic in all of the Bible. There are around 800 different references in God's Word pertaining to money or wealth or material things. Our pen is going to revolve around that I am a steward in the economy of God. And what we're going to do for just a moment is take some economic terms that we hear on a daily basis. You may even use some of these according to what your occupation is. But we're going to take those and we're going to define them in the secular way, if you will, and we're going to make application to them in the spiritual way. To begin, what about the word labor? Labor force. Labor is simply the work or the activity that an individual does in order to gain profit, in order to make a living. Labor is what we do every day in order to have a check. We work 40 hours, we get a check. We take the money from that check, and it becomes part of the economy, and we provide for the things that we need in our family, our homes, and so forth. What about spiritually speaking? Our Lord said in John chapter 9, in verse number 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for night cometh when no man can work. Think about that. The Son of God, deity, came to this earth at a very young age. He said, I have to be about my Father's business. I have to work. John 9 and verse 4, I came to work the works. I'm not going to determine, Jesus said. The Father in heaven is going to determine. And I will be the one that puts forth the work each and every day as his son. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Think about that, work and labor. Paul said, regarding our work, we need to be steadfast and unmovable. We need to be focused. We need to be looking exactly at the things that we need to be doing in our lives daily as Christians. Understanding and knowing our labor is not in vain. It's for a purpose. God knows the things that we do. We think about our time. We think about our talents. We think about our energy. How much of that do we put into our labor, spiritually speaking? Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, in verse number 10, if any would not work, neither should he eat. That is the means by which provisions, if you will, would be made. That we take our time, we take our energy, we take whatever talents we have, and we go forth and work. And therefore, the purpose of our labor is that of gain. What about labor spiritually? It's not for a check. For something greater than that, it's for spiritual gain. Let's talk about another one. What about the word thrifty? We don't hear that word a lot in our generation today. That was a very common word that was used as it pertained to money and physical things. The word thrifty simply means you use your money carefully. You use your money wisely. You know, there was a song several years ago that there's too much month at the end of the money, that the money runs out before the month runs out. And we need to be careful with the physical things we have. We need to use our money in a wise way. What about being thrifty, being careful, being wise in a spiritual way? Solomon had a great deal to say about this in the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 6:6-8, Solomon was talking to the sluggard, the lazy man, the man who doesn't understand our first point about labor. And Solomon told the sluggard, you go to the ant and you consider the ways of the ant. They don't have an overseer. They don't have a guide. They don't have a ruler. Yet what do ants do? Well, when it's time to gather, they gather. When food is plentiful, they gather their food. When it's time to store, they store. They can't get those two backwards. You don't see many ants in Southwest Virginia, East Tennessee, crawling around in January and February. Why? Well, their work was done prior to that. Sluggard, Solomon said, consider the ant. Solomon also said in chapter 28 and verse 22 of Proverbs that a man that hastens to be rich hath an evil eye. You know, sometimes regarding economic factors in our physical life, we just need to slow down and understand. I can get too quick on this matter. And I can make decisions and I can do things that somehow are going to come back. Hasten to be rich, Solomon said, there's a chance of evil. He has an evil eye. Once again, Solomon in chapter 21 of Proverbs, in verse number 17, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. Now think for just a moment. Loving pleasure. Are there a lot of people who are not very thrifty? They waste a lot of money. They are very careless with what God has given them because they love pleasure. And before long it's gone. Think about the prodigal son. You probably already did. He went into a far country and he wasted his substance on riotous living. He wasn't thrifty. He ran out of money ran out of the sense of what he had way before he ever thought that he would. What about it in terms of being a steward? In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Yeah, that means he doesn't gamble. He's not to be just careless and reckless with his money or use it on sinful things. That's part of it. But I think it also includes the fact, as we talk about the economy of God, that he uses his money carefully. He doesn't waste it. He's very wise. Term number three as we study today, the economy of God. And we hear this more and more, perhaps as we hit middle age and have money to do this with. And that's the term invest wisely. And again, economically, it means to spend money with the expectation of gaining profit. You know, if we decided to take some of our money and invest, and maybe we looked at the stock market, or maybe we had a person who was an inventor and he had an idea that we would be very wise with that. What about spiritually speaking? As we talk about the economy of God, what have I invested in my spiritual life? Matthew 16 and verse 24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And you've heard lessons on Matthew 16, 24 many times. Think about those three things for just a moment. Your life being invested in your service toward God. Maybe the scripture is in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth." This is a bad investment, Jesus said. They'll rust, they'll corrupt, and they can be stolen. You need to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Lay not up for yourselves. Don't invest in this, Jesus says. Don't put all of your time and all of your talent and all of your energy, understanding or thinking that this is the purpose of life. You know the book of Ecclesiastes very well. Solomon said, "I looked and I looked and I looked. And I tried to find contentment and I tried to find happiness and I tried to find that would make everything all right. And I looked at power and I looked at women, beautiful women. And I looked at animals and I looked at property and I looked at money. And I came to the conclusion," Solomon said, "it was all vanity." Then the book closes, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse number 13. "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." We also learn in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6 a very simple principle. If we sow correctly, we reap correctly. If we sow in the sense of sparingly, then we'll reap. What do we invest our time, our talents, our energy in? Many years ago, Brother V.P. Black wrote a book that was entitled Rust as a Witness. I know there are a lot of people today investing a lot of things into a lot of areas that certainly will not pay the dividends, if you will, spiritually, that they need to be paying. The parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25. Proper investment, then no investment. "Lord, I knew you were a hard man, and I knew you reaped where you hadn't sown, and I knew how you were, and I was afraid. So I went and hid the talent in the earth. And lo, here is that is thine." The talent was taken from him. He was called a servant who was no longer profitable. Investing wisely. Number four, what about long-term planning? You know, we hear a great deal about that today in the political world and in the media. We hear about IRAs and 401ks and what people are doing as they go through life. They're putting money into those. They are planning for the long term. And then at retirement and the days following their retirement, there is money there that is sufficient for them to live on. They plan long term. It's planning now for future needs that we may have. What about spiritually? Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, Paul said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." I don't have it all figured out. I've not reached the plateau of Christianity that I don't need to grow anymore. I don't have all the answers to all the questions. But this one thing I do. What did Paul say? "I forget what's behind, and I reach forth unto the things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Long-term planning spiritually. "I forget which is behind. I can't change it. I can learn from it, but it shouldn't any longer control or be the focus of my life. But the thing that I do, forgetting that, I reach forth. I look to the future. I plan. I understand, and I'm focused. And I press toward the prize of the high calling of God." The same Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse number 6, that I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord shall give me, and not to me only, but unto all of those who love His appearing. If you dig in that verse just a little bit, you come out with a couple of ideas relative to planning spiritually long term. I'm ready to be offered. I knew this life was going to end, Paul said, and I know that there's life after this life. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. I have served. I have been a part of what God has wanted me to do. And in doing so, planning, if you will, focusing on that which lies before. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, because I have spiritually planned long term, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me. And not to me only, but unto all of those. Dividends to come. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10. Revelation 14 and 13. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Henceforth they'll rest from their labors, and their works do follow. You know, I think Paul understood the song that we often sing, that this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Our last word today in our study is the word generosity. Here during the time of the pandemic and COVID-19, we've seen various things on TV where people have been very generous to help people in need. Generosity simply means the mindset of giving. Well, what about the economy of God, if you will? In Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, Jesus said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking up, and running over will be given to you." It began by saying, if we are people who are generous. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 10, "As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith." We read in the book of Acts in chapter 20 and verse 35, the reference to the words of Jesus, "It's more blessed to give than it is to receive." You know, physically, as little children, we didn't understand that very well. As we've matured as adults, we begin to understand there's a great feeling. There's a great sense of gratitude of self that we are givers and not receivers. Let's close today with having looked at these five economic terms and thinking about the economy of God. If I were to ask you, what do you have in life? And somebody may start to list the physical things they own. And that's part of the things we have in life, and we're stewards of those. What about spiritually? What do we have in life? Or maybe if we qualified the question just a little bit, what's your value? What's your net worth? You know, sometimes we see a movie star or someone, and the news will say what their net worth is. What's your net worth spiritually? Has a great deal in how I serve God in God's economy. I appreciate so much your interest and the opportunity to speak to you this evening. May we always be concerned about the economy of God. Thank you.